Now, if you have your Bible, open it to the Gospel of John again. John chapter 10. The New Testament says Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Chapter 10. Now in John chapter 10, we're going to read one verse and we're going to repeat it quite a few times throughout my message so that we get it. What my goal is in preaching this is that the Word of God would get in. That the Word of God would get in, not just now. Now you can respond to the Word of God as it's being read even. As we've opened the Bible, and we're going to read from John 10 and verse 9. You can respond to this word without any delay. In fact, that is the response that is expected from every listener. Respond immediately by repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus. But I also would like to get the Word of God in your mind so that when you go home tonight, this is all you can think of. So that you wake up tomorrow morning, this is what you think of. So that when you're working tomorrow, this is what you think of. Why? Because sometimes when we leave the gospel meeting, we forget about what we've heard, and we want to come back. We do come back. But we don't think about what we've heard tonight. We don't think about what we've heard tomorrow. And we don't think about what we've heard until we come back the next night. But what I want is this word to get in so that you think about it all the time. We're going to listen to the words of the Lord Jesus, John 10, verse 9, when he says this, I am the door by me. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now, in our English Bible, the force of the pronoun at the beginning of verse 9 is not there. So I'm going to read it like this so we get the idea. The Lord Jesus says, John 10, verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now, just to be clear, when it says, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. It's not talking just about the males or the men. It's talking about humanity. So if any person enters in, that person will be saved. The simplicity of this chart is that these two roads are separated just by this one door, right? This door on the chart almost looks like it's closed. Now, we see a door over here to my right and a door over here to my left. And we call that slab of wood that's on the hinges a door. And we see that it swings in and it swings out. It almost looks like there's a slab of wood here that's closed when a person tries to leave this road to go onto that road. But really, the door between this road and that road is not on hinges swinging back and forth. It's an opening. It's a portal with nothing restricting someone from going in. So that when the Lord Jesus talks about being the door, he is not saying, I am the wooden thing on the hinges that opens up. He is saying, I am the opening. I am the gate. I am the way from death unto life. I am the door. It's a tremendous thing to think tonight that when we are giving people instructions on how to get to heaven, we're not giving people a code of rules to follow. We're not saying the way to heaven is to obey rule 1, 2, 3, and 4. right? We don't say that. Why wouldn't we say that? That might be easier for some people, right? All you have to do is make sure you observe the religious holidays. All you have to do is make sure that you take the communion at your church. All you have to do is not steal and not lie. If you do those four things, you'll be in heaven. Would that be easy? For some, they think that's what I need. But the Bible doesn't say that's what you need. There are others, and they would like for us to point them to a certain religion. But religion is not what you need. What you need is a person. And the Bible always speaks about this person as the way to heaven. He said himself in John chapter 14 and verse 6, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so we have it tonight. He says the same thing. Here it is, repeat it. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. I am the door. Now, the simplicity of it is this. If a person is outside the door, they are lost. And if a person is inside the door, they are saved. So people on the outside are lost. People on the inside are safe. So that if you were to die tonight on the outside of the door, you'd be lost. If you were to die tonight on the inside of the door, you'd be in heaven. Outside, I know this seems simple, but I'm going over it again. Outside, lost. Inside, safe. That's why the Lord Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Saved. I need to tell you a story from the Old Testament of the Bible. I'm going to take my time because it's a story that might be a little complicated in the details, but it is very effective in a picture of what we're talking about tonight. What's the difference between a murderer and someone who commits manslaughter? Now, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a judge, but I think very plainly the difference is that one person intended to kill and the other killed by an accident or without meaning to kill, right? One had the premeditation and the other killed out of perhaps error or necessity. There's two different things, right? And the Bible recognizes it as two different things. If a person took a sword and went after someone and chased them, went into their house and killed them, that would be murder. If a person is working with their axe and cutting a tree and the axe flies and hits someone and kills them, that's manslaughter. Murder is intentional, manslaughter, unintentional. There was a man one day who committed manslaughter. He didn't want to kill, but he did. He didn't mean to kill, but he did. And when he did kill a young man, immediately the young man's family became angry. You would too. Be a lot of emotions inside if somebody killed your brother. Well, these men wanted to go after the man who had committed manslaughter. They wanted to catch him and they wanted to kill him because he had killed their brother. The man who had committed manslaughter, his name was Abner. We'll remember his name. Abner had killed, but he didn't want to. Abner had killed, but he never meant to. And now Abner was in danger. Why was he in danger? because the man's brothers wanted to kill him. I've repeated that so that we get it. Now, God knew that there would be situations like this. And God came up with a way to make the person who had committed manslaughter safe. God said, there are cities of refuge, cities of safety that I will make. There will be walls around those cities. There will be wide roads to get to those cities. There will be big gates to enter those cities. And when the person who has committed manslaughter is inside the city, they're safe. If they're outside, they're in danger. But if they're inside, they're safe. Now, let's say our verse again. I am the door, the Lord Jesus says. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Safe from the danger that's on the outside. Now, this man Abner thought he could handle things by himself. He knew there was a city that he could go to and be safe. But rather than flee, he decided to take his chances. And Abner decided to go on with life just as if nothing was wrong. And he would go into Jerusalem. And he would go out into the field, and he would go on the roads, and he would go by the brooks. He was just doing everything, living his life as if nothing was wrong, and the whole time he was in danger of being slain by those men. But can we talk about it in terms of sin now? Because a lot of people know that there's danger. A lot of people know that they're lost. A lot of people know that if they died tonight, they'd be in hell forever. And a lot of people know. Now, everyone in this room tonight knows this, that the Lord Jesus is the door, and by him, if you enter in, you'll be saved, right? You know that. You know there's salvation on the inside. You know that there's danger on the outside. But rather than enter in, you live your life as if nothing is wrong. Just like Abner. And I have no doubt there were people who would come into contact with Abner every day and say, Abner, aren't you in danger? He might say, yeah, I suppose I am. And they'd say, Abner, do you know where you can be safe? He'd say, yes, I know where I can be safe. And then what's the question? Well, why don't you go in? Why don't you go in? You know, there's no good answer. There's no good answer for why won't you go in. There's a lot of excuses. Abner could make a lot of excuses, right? You come up with whatever excuse you want. Abner could say, well, I can't do my farming in there, and I can't do my army life in there, or I can't take my wife in there, or I can't take my friends in there. You could have 100 different reasons, really excuses, but there's no good reason for not entering in. Same thing with salvation, right? What's one good reason? Now, not an excuse, but one good reason for not entering in. I'll give you time to think. I don't mind. I'm thinking too. Time's up. And nobody's thought of a good reason to not enter in, right? Abner figures he has lots of time, and Abner figures he's going to be able to enter in whenever he wants. So he does a lot of things. And one day, Abner comes right to the gate of the city. There's a lot that went on before that. Abner was a politician and he was trying to bring two different factions of the nation together. But here was Abner, a man who should have been inside so he was safe, but he's still outside where he's in danger. And there's a man named Joab, and Joab is the one who wants to kill him. Now, why would Abner ever trust the man who wants to kill him? No good reason. Again, right? Nothing is making sense in our mind as we watch Abner really close to the gate. Now, he's so close to the gate that he could touch it. But is he safe? No. Because he's not in. Remember, on the outside, he's in danger. On the inside, he is safe. So he could be right up to the gate and touching it. But if he's not in, he's not safe. And just as he was right there at the gate, just ready to enter in, Joab says, I just want you to stop for a second. I have something to tell you. And he pulls him aside by the gate. Now, this may sound irrelevant to us, but it's absolutely true in the spiritual sense. Because the enemy of your soul, the devil, wants you to stop before you enter in. And he might just disguise it in a lie and say, you don't need to enter in right now. Just come aside for a second. I just have to tell you something, right? Now, why would you listen to the enemy of your soul? No good reason. But yet many people do. And they think about the gospel and they hear the words. Here it is, what you're going to remember when you leave. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. They hear those words and they ride up almost to the door where they think I could enter in. And I should enter in. And Satan says, just think about it for another day. If you get saved, I mean, what good would that be? Just wait. You get saved tonight. What will your friends think? You get saved tonight. What will your family think? If you get, just wait. And there's no good excuse for listening to that kind of reasoning. But Abner's still on the outside. If we were there watching, watching this man close to the gate, but not inside. On the inside, there's safety. On the outside, there's danger. And here he is, almost in. If you saw Abner almost in, what would you say? What would your advice be to a man who's almost in, but he's still in danger? I think if we were all there, we'd all yell with one voice, enter in, enter in. Don't stop. You're at the door. Don't stop and turn aside. Enter in right now. Oh, yeah, but I can enter. The safety is always there. Abner, the danger is now. Enter in. But nobody was there to tell Abner that. And instead of entering in where he was safe, he stopped right at the gate. And that man, Joab, just took out his sword and he put it onto his belly and he pulled it like this. And Abner died just feet, a few feet away from the door to safety. I think there's people who die like that spiritually. Turn away from the very door of heaven. Who's the door of heaven? The Lord Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, ye shall be saved. And they turn away right from the door of heaven. They don't enter in. They die in their sins. They lose their soul. This is the lesson we learn. King David began to cry over Abner. And the words that King David said are remarkable. He said, "Died Abner as a fool dieth?" In other words, in our language today, did Abner die like a foolish man? We heard about the foolish man who builds on sand. Abner was smart. Abner knew that inside there was safety. Abner was brilliant, actually, in some things. There was nobody who could say that Abner was foolish in his life, but Abner was foolish in his death. Why? Because instead of entering in, he remained in danger. That's what a foolish person would do, is what David is saying. And he's saying, your hands were not bound. Nobody forced you to stay out. You chose to stay out. Your feet were not in fetters. Nobody was holding you there. You chose to not go in. You see, that really would be the cry tonight if someone were that close to the door of heaven and chose to turn away rather than enter in. They die like a foolish person. But here's the thing. You can know where the door is. Let's say it this way. You can know who the door is. Who is the door? I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Right? He's the door. You can know what's inside the door. What is it? Saved. In one word, saved. Is in there. You go in and you're saved. You can understand the concept. But that's different than entering in, isn't it? So how does a person go from being at the door to being in the door? You believe on the Lord Jesus, like we heard last night. To believe on the Lord Jesus is entering the door. To look to him for salvation is entering the door. To come to him is entering the door. And you know what he says? This is the beauty part of it. For those on the outside of the door, the opportunity is now. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. But for those of us who are inside the door, you know what the wonderful promise is? We've entered in and we know now we're saved. We know that we're saved. Why? Because he says it. Enter in. Be saved. Tonight, my advice to you from the Bible. You know who the door is? Then enter in. My advice to you from the Bible. Now. Is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. My advice to you from the Bible is that the Lord Jesus says, strive to enter in. I'm going to keep you 2 minutes. This verse here in Luke chapter 13 that says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. The Lord Jesus says there's coming a day when many will seek to enter in and they'll not be able when the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door. We mentioned that this is an open door, and now we see that there's coming a day when there will be a closed door. The door will be closed for you once you pass away if you die without Christ. The door will be closed for you if the Lord Jesus comes tonight. Or when the Lord Jesus comes, the door will be closed for you. But in that statement, the Lord Jesus says, strive to enter in. Now, striving to enter in is not making a work out of believing God. Striving to enter in is removing every obstacle so that that door is your main object. In other words, if you are standing here and the door was there and in front of you was a lion and a bear, fight the lion, fight the bear, strive to enter in. If you were standing here and in front of you was a tree and a building and a wall and a tunnel, climb the tree, go through the building, go over the wall, go under the tunnel, do whatever it takes to put every obstacle aside and enter in. If you were standing here and the door was there and your friends and your husband and your girlfriend and your family was in the way, strive to enter in. Go through every obstacle that may be there. Why? Because the most important thing that will ever happen to you is entering in that door. That's what God says. Here it is again. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. We'll pray. Our Father, we are thankful for the door that is a person, the Lord Jesus. We are thankful that in the context of the sheep and the shepherd, he is the door to go in, and he is the door of safety. And Father, we're thankful that he could say, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Father, we thank thee that the Lord Jesus said, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Tonight we pray that we may take the word of God in our minds and in our hearts. We look to thee to bless us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Now, as we're leaving tonight, I have some smaller copies of this chart, and I will offer one to everyone who would like one. Really, it's just a little tract that you fold out. What you can do is you can take it home, open it up, and find all of these passages in the Bible. And when you're looking at these passages in the Bible, you'll find the Word of God. Before you do that, tell God what you need to tell him and ask him to show you what he wants you to know. Because from the Bible, you'll find the answer.